Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 15th, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time in the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made this choice to get right with Yeshua, make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, don't, freak out. So many people will just not say anything, like I'm going to answer. Once it hits the machine and my cell phone or whatever, I'm not going to be able to pick up the phone. So don't just sit there silent. Please give your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Remember, you can also send prayer requests by United States Postal Service or by email. Include your phone number on it. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. We have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Messiah's Branch and prophecyhour.com pages. Look for it. You can use it just as a contact source. You doesn't have to be a prayer request. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base, in places like Jerusalem, Israel, Tel Aviv, Israel, Stockholm, Sweden, Beijing, China, Perth, Australia, and core cities in the good old United States, such as Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, Los Angeles, California, Jacksonville, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio night goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. And Father, please, I pray for this nation and the people in it and the people that were so viciously attacked at the baseball game. But Father, please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, this is a statement from a pastor that most of you all know, and it was released yesterday. The pastor foresees a time of trials for Christians ahead. These are prophetic times, he says, he told WorldNet Daily. Our faith will be tried, our courage as well. As Christians, we are called to live in victory, not to live in fear and anxiety. Well, with just a little preparation, a lot of prayer, we can face to what many will be coming. So he asks all Christians to wake up to the times and recognize that we may not be able to take our comfortable, persecution-free lives for granted any longer. Yes, that was from Pastor Carl Gallups, who is with us today. Pastor Carl is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host. He's heard internationally and nationally, TV, radio, guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's also the founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry and Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written five books. Now, I get that wrong sometimes. I don't know why. Anyway, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, very important book, and When the Lion Roars. So let's welcome back Pastor Carl. Are you there with me, Carl?
Pastor Dan, thank you. Man, it's so awesome to be with you and your great audience again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I really enjoy having you on, but, you know, you always seem to focus on what's current and have a good view of it that people really need to hear, Carl. So that's why, you know, part of the reason I keep bringing you back.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. You're very kind. You're very encouraging.
Yeah, well, you know, I already had you scheduled to talk about something else, and then when I seen this statement yesterday that was released from WorldNet Daily, I guess it was called Seven Things to Do to Survive When Facing Domestic Terror. But boy, that domestic terror is just getting worse and worse. And so you give them some very sound things to think about, or to pray about, rather. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Listen, you know, your audience, I know you get new people all the time, and some of them don't have a clue who I am and what my background is, but most of your audience does. But you know, brother, I've been a pastor in one church, one community for 31 years. And prior to that, I spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement with two different sheriff's offices as a sworn officer. And so, you know, 40 years of life experience, and I've watched a lot change in this nation, and as you have, and I have, and so many in your audience have. And so, yeah, I have a heart for this nation. I have a heart for people who don't know the Lord. I have a heart for God's people, and especially those that are anxious about these times in which we're living in. There's no doubt about it. We're living in a rapidly changing world, and not all of it's bad. I mean, some of the technology that's out there is just tremendous, but a lot of the technology is being abused, and now we have the whole world communicating with one another, and that can be really good, or it can be really bad, as we know from terrorists and the demonic and the godless and the pornography and the horrific stuff that's communicated around the world. So in the midst of all of this, and now, you know, the domestic terror and the shooting of the congressman, and look, I'm not trying to be a harbinger of bad news, but I can't imagine that it's going to get any better before the Lord returns. You know, I'm not wishing for worse. I'm just a pragmatist, you know. I see what's happening. I know what the Word of God says. We're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And I gave that interview because they were asking me. Of course, I wrote a book, Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble. And it's very theologically sound. It goes all the way back to the early church and the things that they had to deal with. And then brings it right on up to our day. And then it gets into some logistics of taking care of yourself, your family, your church, the people around you, and being prepared, if for nothing else but some kind of natural disaster, but, you know, at the worst, some kind of terrorism or civil war or domestic disturbance. And I just want God's people to know how to live and to operate in this world, and at the same time have a great impact for the kingdom of God, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, amen. And you're right about that. I mean, well, we could always go to the lesser, and it's not a lesser thing, and say, well, a natural disaster or something of this sort. But, you know, we have really, I think, came beyond that, and I think that this thing with the congressman and everything, you know, is I'm praying it's waking some people up, because just walking into a busy, any place where there's a lot of people can be highly dangerous right now. So we need to be prepared.
Yeah. You know. Let me just say, I know your audience. They're people that listen to the news and that read and do research. I mean, you've got an intelligent audience, and so they're hearing a lot of the same old stuff regurgitated 24/7. Concerning what happened, let me just talk about a couple of things concerning that shooting, some hypocrisies and some things for people to think about that I'm not hearing on the news anywhere. I mean, maybe it's out there. Maybe some of your listeners, after I say this, will scream at the radio and say, well, I heard somebody say that. But but I haven't heard too much of this. First of all, I want to draw attention to the fact that, so you got a guy that walks into a basically a gun-free zone. Now, they were in Virginia, so Virginia, you can carry in Virginia, you can get licensed to carry and all of that. So that particular place was not gun-free necessarily. But you're dealing with a bunch of congressmen out of Washington. And in Washington, D.C., of course, I mean, some of the strictest gun laws in the nation. So there was a good chance that very few people there would have guns. And apparently only two guys did, or a man and a woman, who were on security detail for this congressman who was shot, bless his heart, and we pray for him. But here's the point. I want your audience to get this. And I'm sure they've thought of this, but just in case, because not many people are talking about this in the media, the mainstream media, especially the 24/7 television cycle. All it took was two people, a man and a woman, with pistols to stop and eventually kill the terrorist who had an assault rifle and an assault handgun. And two people who were armed were finally able to stop a slaughter, because had he not been being fired back at, he was going to start picking people off probably by the dozens, like fish in a barrel. And you know, it's just a stark illustration. It's a gruesome illustration, but it's a stark illustration that, look, this is why. I mean, not everybody wants to carry a gun. I get that. And I don't judge a person's manhood or womanhood or faith in God by whether or not they choose to carry a gun or not. I'm just saying, our forefathers understood this, Pastor Dan. That's why they engraved it in stone in the Second Amendment. I mean, the Bill of Rights. It's like the First Amendment covered five rights of just life and liberty and speech and worship. The second one said, now here's how you defend those rights, because evil people will always try to encroach upon them and take them away. And the Second Amendment said, you have the right to arm yourself. You have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to protect your church and your speech and your life and your family and your loved ones around you. And the deal is, they understood that if you have a gun-free nation, so to speak, or a gun-free zones, the evil people are going to kill you. I mean, that's just the way. We live in a fallen creation. That's the way it works. And I know people. I've got personal friends. I've got one guy, a personal friend, who literally stopped a massacre in a church. He was the only one in the church with a six-shot snub nose in his under his jacket, and some terrorists came in with some AK-47s. They didn't expect to be shot back at. They thought there was no one in the church that was armed. And one dude with six shots was able to stop a massacre and to get those terrorists out of the church. And so the point I'm saying is, most of these people that do these kinds of things, and they're cowards. They're either, they've got this suicidal pact with, you know, with Allah, the Islamic terrorist, where, you know, they're going to kill themselves so that they don't get killed by the infidels. Or you got people like this. He wasn't going there expecting to get killed.
Right.
He didn't want to be killed. He didn't want to be shot at. He didn't think he was going to be shot at. So you've got that kind of hypocritical aspect here of we're constantly told by the leftist, you know, we need to give up our guns. We don't need to carry guns. It's barbaric to carry guns. No, we live in a barbaric world, and it's foolish not to protect yourself. Now, the other hypocrisy related to all of this is that, and I hear very few people talking about this. Brother, think about this. The all of those on the left in Washington, D.C. want to take our guns away, and Washington, D.C.'s gun laws are proof of it. Many people with an R by their name in Washington, D.C. are the same way. Either they want to take our guns away or they want to severely restrict them, because they're part of that Washington establishment elite, that political correctness. And here's the thing. After they became the targets in the wide open, in a public ballpark where their family could have been, maybe some of their family members were there, I don't know, but friends and family and colleagues out in the wide open just playing ball, Americana, and then all of a sudden they are the victims. They are the targets. One of their colleagues is shot down right before their eyes. Others are shot, wounded, crippled, killed. Others, I mean, gunfire is going off, just continual gunfire. People are freaking out. After it's all over, over and over, Pastor Dan, on the news, I heard some of these people who were there, and I'm going to call them victims, whether they were hit or not, because they were victims of this act of terrorism. They came to the cameras, and I heard several people saying and opining, well, maybe we should give special permission to our congressman to carry concealed weapons. Special permission for the congressman. Because after all, I mean, they're special. They have targets on their back. Well, here's the hypocrisy of that. Number one, we all have targets on our back. Number two, there are evil people out there that want to kill many other people, not just congressmen. Number three, what do you mean, special class of people? Now, I understand our lawmakers and elected officials are tasked with a responsibility. They were voted in. We put them there. I get that. But most of them do. They are surrounded by Capitol Police all day long, Secret Service. Some of them have their own security details. So they can't carry a gun in D.C., but what do? They either get government protection because they're a certain class of congressman, like this guy was the third-ranking member, so he had a security detail, or they can hire their own security, bodyguards. Wow, wouldn't that be nice, Pastor Dan, if you and I could have bodyguards around us and our family at all times because we're so special? And so the point I'm trying to make is, brother, a lot of people don't know their history. When I was hearing that talk on TV, I thought, Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. If you say to people, well, you know, when Hitler came to power, one of the first things he did was implement strict gun control laws. Well, a lot of the leftists will immediately laugh at you. They'll call you a liar. They'll say you don't know your history. And they'll point to the statistics that when Hitler came in, he actually issued more gun permits than the administration before him. The administration before him was strict gun control, and the one before that was strict gun control. And Hitler actually, quote, loosened up the laws and issued more gun permits. Now, that statistic is a fact, Pastor Dan, but listen. He issued more permits to the special classes of people. He issued them to his friends, to his sycophants, to his political allies, to the brown shirts, to the Nazi class, to the government class that agreed with him, but he completely banned Jews, Polish people, gypsies, and all of these other classes of people that he didn't feel were worthy of protecting themselves. And that's what was freaking me out the last couple of days when I'm hearing this talk coming out of Washington. We've got the strictest gun control laws in the nation. We don't want the citizen. We don't want a Pastor Dan or a Pastor Carl who might live in Washington, D.C. or might be visiting in Washington. They don't have a right to protect themselves. But our special politicians, we need to let them carry concealed weapons. Why? Because they became a direct target and it freaked them out. And I mean, I hate that all this happened. Maybe
You know what, Carl? I listen and read. See, that's great insight, and that I believe that's, you know, that's partly a spiritual gift that you do have. In fact, to be able to discern and pull that out, because I listen and I didn't catch that at all, and that is highly important, and it points to something. They consider themselves the elite, the different. The change. Yeah. And that's why I believe that we're in this situation. Part of the reason we're in the situation that we're in, are we not?
Yes. They consider themselves and their lives and their families' lives more valuable than Pastor Dan Catlin and his family. I mean, they wouldn't say those words, but that's what they mean. They sit up there and pass laws, no guns, no guns, no guns, no guns. But wink, wink, we know we're surrounded by Secret Service and Washington, D.C. police, and we're protected all day long, and we've got our own security details. But then they're caught in the wide open, and they're gunned down like fish in a barrel. And then they start saying, We need special protection. We need the ability to carry a gun if we want to. We need to be able to have gun permits. But now nobody else does, only we, because we're special. And I'm telling you, Pastor Dan, yeah, I don't know if it's a spiritual gift or if I'm just an angry old man, but I'm gonna tell you, when I heard that, I went through the roof because, I mean, you know, I carry a gun every day, and I have for decades. But, nobody ever knows it when I've got it on my side. Nobody knows it. But brother, I'm responsible for my own protection and those loved ones around me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what they are looking is for. Like you said, they're looking for targets of opportunity, people that won't shoot back at them or, you know.
Yes.
Even if it is a terrorist that decided that he's doing it for his cause and he's doing it for ally, they still look for the target that is least likely to fire back on them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Because they don't want their mission to be thwarted. So even if they're ready to die, even if they're going to pull a string and open a bomb and they know it's going to kill them, they don't want that to fail. They want it to succeed. And if they can be stopped because of an armed citizen, that they don't want that. That's, I'm telling you, the globalist elite, that's what all these UN sanctions have been about. That's what all of this globalist interwrangling and trying in the last 8 years under the Obama regime to take our guns from us. It's all about bringing America down. They can't possess us. They can't control us. They can't have us when we've got 100 million citizens with multiple guns in our homes and many of us carrying on our sides every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we sure would have been in a different position right now had Hillary became president. I think they would have already started trying to take him.
There's no doubt.
We got less than a minute, Carl. So why don't you tell them where your great website is and what they can find over there, and we'll go take a break.
Thank you. Yeah, very quickly, carlgallups.com, and my name is C-A-R-L, and my last name is G-A-L-L-U-P-S, like the Gallup poll, but with an S, carlgallups.com. And from there, you'll see it. It's self-explanatory. Links to my church, all of my books, thousands of videos, articles, some of my latest media articles, anything you'd want to know about me, the ministry that the Lord has given me, the church that I pastor, everything at carlgallups.com.
Absolutely, folks. Go over there and check it out. And he's got this really cool banner that slips by and shows you different latest articles that he's been working on. And so go over and check it out. And, hey, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, folks, this is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Normally, this is time I ask you to pray for the Wichita Mission Church and about supporting us, because you are the people that keep this mission church going. Well, it's actually the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, that does it, but he uses you to do this. But I want to share a real quick story with you, a praise report, if you will. This is kind of sort of gives you an idea also what we do. Well, this last week, a man came back into the mission church, and he was looking for me, and he had a praise report. Well, I wasn't there that day, but he shared it with my wife. The man, the last time I saw him, told me that he had pancreatic cancer. He was about to start chemo, but there really didn't seem much hope for him at all. That's what he said. So I got an elder to come into the room. We went into the office. I got an elder to come in with him. And I anointed him with oil, and of course I asked the elder to, you know, pray, back me up in prayer. Most of you that know about these kind of things know what I'm talking about. So I asked the Father to heal him, if it was indeed his will to heal him, and to draw him to him, to manifest himself to him, and to speak to him in some manner or another. This is kind of the standard prayer that I always ask, because Yeshua is a cure for everything. So, you know, if you get right with Yeshua, no matter, nothing else will matter. You know, that's the main thing. Well, after the prayer, this man, you know, he told my wife that he felt better for a little bit, but he was distraught, and he tried to kill himself by taking different kinds of drugs as an overdose that would have normally killed somebody. But there was no avail. He couldn't kill himself. He tried, and he really, really tried, and he just didn't seem that he could kill himself. After that, after he got out of the hospital from that, then a voice spoke with him. He heard an audible voice, and it gave him some instructions on what to do in order that he might be healed. I won't go into what all those were, because I haven't got the fine details from my wife, but he blames his communication going back to the prayer, of course. But so there's the point. Now he's cancer free. He went back in, and he said that when he went back in and he spoke with the doctor, because it's been over a year, remember, the doctor said he only had maybe 6 months to live. But he goes back in and sees the doctor after a year. And the doctor, he said, was in tears. In fact, was cried so much that he put his head down on his desk. And because he gave him the results. He took a test one day. He went and saw the doctor the next day. And he was completely healed. And this is one of the miracle prayers that we talk about that happens at the Mission Church. Now, while I say over and over that of course, you know, it's not us. But people come looking for these miracle prayers, and they do happen, and they happen so much. I don't believe anything is commonplace with the Lord Yeshua, but it's almost like it's common, because we expect it, we see it, and it's not abnormal for these things to happen. And so this happens over and over. So when you support Messiah's Branch, you're supporting more than just feeding and clothing people. You're bringing people to Yeshua in a miraculous way, in a very miraculous way. And so we need you to pray about it. You know, we have started our 18th year, starting June 1st. And now you folks on radio, while we did newsletters and things in the past, the main way that we have to support ourselves is by radio. And so I do want you to, tonight, I want to ask you, amen, support the Wichita Mission Church. But I want you to pray about supporting radio, and I mean so in two different manners, not just with supporting airtime, but right now, I was informed that my main computer here is over 6 years old. It could be as old as 8. My board needs to be replaced. I'm amazed that it even comes on. There's some things that we need to replace, and yes, some of you folks have wondered about video. Well, the things that people said they were going to send us to do the video properly never came through. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church, but pray about supporting radio, which we also bring you people like Carl and other people to warn you, to help you. That's our goal, not only to warn you, to help you in some manner and bring you closer to Yeshua. Now remember, we are Wichita Mission Church. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are all our brothers, keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. Now, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. So pray about it, and now we're back with our wonderful guest tonight, Pastor Carl Gallups. Are you still with me, Carl?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan. God bless you and your ministry, and I enjoyed listening to those great victories that the Lord has given you and your ministry, brother. God bless you.
Well, amen. And I don't feel like there are victories at all, but the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
All credit goes to Him. You know,
I know. But think how honored you and I are, and the people affiliated with our ministries together, that the Lord would use us in these ways. I mean, it's mind-blowing. When I know how I used to be before I was serving the Lord, brother. I don't deserve to be drawing another breath, much less that God would be using me for something.
Yeah, that's actually my point. I was so bad. When I was bad, I was completely bad. And to me, just my life is who I am now. I know that I am a completely different person. The other person couldn't have did any of these things that I did. And I asked the Father right at first. I said, if nothing else, just give me a broom. I'll sweep up the kingdom of heaven. I'll do whatever manner you want me to serve you, because I'm so grateful that you saved me. And then after he saved me, I'm 62 years old. My youngest son is 16 years old. He gave me a family. He's given me grandchildren. He restored me. And I feel healthier than I have in 20 years, and strong. And it's because of him, because of him.
Yeah.
And so
Amen.
All glory goes to him.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. That's good.
Anyway, back to our conversation. You know, we are living in very perilous times, and you know, maybe you can give them some pointers, like in your article, about what can they do, Carl?
Yeah. Well, thanks. Well, you know. Listen, I don't know if this is in any particular order of importance. All I know the first one is, but let me just give your audience 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, pointers, just as we go about our day. First of all, just cover yourself in prayer and worship. Don't you agree, Pastor Dan? I mean, isn't that the first thing? We just have to be ready to be with the Lord. We're not guaranteed of another day anyway, right?
Yeah, amen.
We can be healthy, we can be happy, we can live in a nice, safe community, and a truck can still run a stop sign today and we're in front of the Lord, you know? I mean, our lives are so fragile when you think about it. They can turn on a dime any second. So, you know, just have a spirit of worship and prayer, and of course, I don't know that we're humanly capable of doing that, you know, every waking second of our life, but it's like the Apostle Paul said. He said, look, learn to pray always. Pray in the Spirit and pray always. Give thanks unto the Lord. In everything, give thanks. And just, so it just, we have to begin by walking through this life with a thankful spirit and a prayerful spirit, not an anxious spirit, not a terrified spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And when we walk around in a spirit of fear, or anxiousness all day long, you know, the Word of God tells us, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, give praise unto the Lord, and the peace of Jesus Christ will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the point, the first thing is, I say, just get out there and live life. Do what you're supposed to do, but be smart about it, and be prepared in your heart. Have your spirit and your soul prepared. If there's somebody listening to this right now, Pastor Dan, they've never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, they've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I beg you, listener, please, get this right with the Lord today. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, what do we have to do to get right? He said, repent, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You and your children, your family can do this. So that's the first thing, as I tell people, look, we're only here for a few decades, 60, 70, 80 years if we're blessed. You know, Pastor Dan, you and I only have a couple more decades if we're blessed. If we're blessed.
Right.
And so be prepared spiritually at all times. All right. Now, so we get out there in life. Well, the next thing I tell people, look, be smart. Just avoid dangerous situations if possible. Now, what happened the other day? Nobody would have even dreamed that would be a dangerous situation. Early in the morning at a ballpark in Virginia, a bunch of congressmen having fun. But, you know, we just need to think about that. I mean, if you're in a high target area, well, I'd say a bunch of congressmen's a pretty high target area. Well, now we know it is. You know, just listen, going to church these days, I mean, this is why at the church that I pastor, we're not paranoid about it, but we have high security. We use all the technology available, but yet people don't really know that. When they're there, they don't feel like they're in a police state. But look, we've got video cameras. We've got patrol people. We hire a deputy sheriff that's there out front, kind of directing traffic, keeping his eyes on things. His car is seen. His lights are on. We've got our own security team and ministry, not only walking around greeting people, but most of them are armed, and most of them know where to check and after everyone else gets in the worship service, they're cruising the grounds, they're checking closets and empty rooms, they're going through our buildings, they're locking down areas that don't need to be open, and all of these things. We've got panic alarms in our children's ministry area, our student ministry area. Now you might say, well, gosh, Brother Carl, that sounds like high security. Well, it is, but we were smart about it. If you and your family were to come to our church this Sunday, Pastor Dan, I promise you, you wouldn't see or know or feel any of that. But it's all there. It's all in place. Why? Because churches are high target areas now, even in the United States. And so this is what I tell people. I tell pastors and churches and families, just don't, you know, you don't have to go crazy and stupid, but just avoid dangerous situations. And or if you're in a place that might be high target, think about that. Think about how you, if you go into the mall one night, think about where you park your car. Think about how you're walking through the parking lot. If you can be armed, if you don't mind being armed, if your state is constitutional and, quote, allows you to do that, then be armed somehow. And so I just tell people, just put on your thinking caps. We don't live in Mayberry anymore. This is not Leave It to Beaver. This is 2017, worldwide terrorism, the globalists that want to control everything, the people that hate our president and the powers that be right now, they're there. And the Islamic terrorists among us, I mean, you know, we just have to be smart. And then I tell people, and just interject, I'm sorry, I'm just running on here, but just...
No, go ahead.
Okay, and then I tell people, look, and I think this article I talk about this, I just say, look, and make sure you're educated, informed, and that's why people need to listen to, like, your show right now. This what we're doing right now. We're just helping people in a nice, calm, you know, manner, balanced manner, just telling people, look, inform yourself. The police, you know, I was a cop for, you know, 10 years, and the professional law enforcement, they don't want mayhem. They don't want trouble. And so they'll, if you'll listen and do some research, they know where the trouble spots are. They know how to instruct families and individuals and being careful and securing your home and your automobile and your own person when you're out in public and in high target areas. And then the other thing is, I tell people, when you travel, be prepared. I mean, listen, brother, when I get in my car, in my trunk, for example, I mean, I've got extra water. I've got a little to-go bag. What does that mean? A bug-out bag? That means, hey, if I'm driving down the road and a Ferguson, Missouri breaks out around me, and you see, there's a good example. Those people got up, went to work that day. They had no idea. The next thing you know, the streets would be filled with people trying to hurt them and setting buildings on fire and fighting the cops. And I mean, and there you're in the middle of that. Well, sometimes you have to get out of the area. Sometimes you can't drive out. What do? Well, it's awfully nice if you can pop your trunk, throw in a little backpack that's got maybe a weapon in it or some ammunition or some extra cash or, you know, some matches, maybe a bottle of water and some beef jerky or something, you know, just a bug-out bag. I mean, just be prepared. Don't get in your car and go on a 500-mile trip and don't have a little extra water, maybe a firearm with you or a knife or something. Good gracious. So you'd be surprised how many people, brother, get in the car and, you know, going to take a four-hour trip down the road and they don't even think about that.
But, you know, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right about that.
I mean, you know, what do you do?
You guys even think?
Sir?
No, go ahead. I wonder about a lot of people that don't even take a... Here's a good one, and I've been on my family all their lives. It's just, you know, it gets cooler at night. It'll be nice and warm in the daytime, but it gets cold at night. We're not going to be back till maybe 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay, has everybody got a jacket with them, you know?
Right.
Oh, I didn't bring a jacket. Well, why didn't you bring a jacket? What if the truck broke down and our jaunts are like 30 miles at a time between cities.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Know?
Well, that's what I'm talking about, brother. So much of what I've said is plain common sense, and I know a lot of your listeners are thinking, golly, that's true. I've never thought about that. But, I mean, you know, it's because we've been so blessed in America, brother, for the last 50 years. It's just, you know, I mean, we can go and come as we please, and we rarely give thought to anything like a Ferguson, Missouri, or a shooting down congressman, or Islamic terrorism. But, you know, brother, I'm just telling you and your audience, you don't have to live in fear, but you do have to be smart, and you need to think about these kinds of things we're talking about. Pastor Dan, you may have more questions or things you want me to talk about specifically, but those are the kinds of things. I mean, and I tell people, look, just around your home, you know, people say, well, Brother Carl, should we buy lots of silver and gold, and should we? Well, that's up to you, but I tell people, if it really got bad, if it got really, really bad, I mean, worst case scenario, some kind of EMP, electromagnetic pulse, some kind of nuclear attack, some kind of huge terrorist attack. If it really got bad, brother, you can't eat gold or silver.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You need to, and there's an area that I have strongly emphasized on. Now, it became easy for us when we moved out of Wichita, Carl. We moved from this little farm community that we live in. And, you know, we got a half a block over here I acquired over the years, but that's not the point. But we only go to there's no big, huge store here, so at least not one that's cheap anyway. So we go to places like Walmart and other cheaper places to buy food. We do that on a monthly basis. We buy more than what we need, so our house is stocked like a store. We don't buy for a specific meal, but we buy things to make different meals. So the point is there's a little left over every month to where it builds up, and you just rotate and you have a stock. I believe all people should have at least a year's supply of food for their family and somebody that would knock on the door. And if you do it slowly and just start doing it, extra can or two in the basket, you know, it will build up quicker than you think.
Yes. And listen, you, because people need to always be prepared to shelter in place if need be. Again, I use Ferguson, and the reason I use Ferguson is because that's just a small town in Missouri. Just a good old Andy of Mayberry town in Missouri, heartland of America. And the next thing you know, for months, they're the center of international attention, riots, burning, pillaging, shooting, stabbings, beatings. I mean, it just, their life changed instantly. People were on their way to work, dropping their kids off at school, picking up, going to work. I mean, and it changed. And many people had to shelter in place. You couldn't get to the grocery store. You couldn't get down to the gas station. Some people had to leave their neighborhoods entirely for some days. So I just tell people, look, think about these things. Be prepared to shelter in place. I know we live on the Gulf Coast in Hurricane Alley. My gosh. Man, right. These big hurricanes rip through here. Sometimes everything shuts down. I mean, power, grocery stores, gas stations, law enforcement. Sometimes it shuts down for days and sometimes weeks. And so
well, I think you make a really good point about law enforcement, and this is something I want people to think about. You know, if something massive happens, like whether it be a storm, hurricane, or something massive, you have to also remember that police officers have families, and they will look to take care of their family also. So, you know, while they sacrifice so much for us, they're not always going to be there to prevent. They come after the fact.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to handle the situation at that moment yourself until help can get to you, whether it's a police officer, firefighter, or whoever. But the initial act of protection is first, I believe your place with the Lord. But second, it is on you. You need to be the one responsible for taking care of yourself and your family. Back to you.
Yes, thank you. That was a great illustration. And listen, those are all biblical principles. And in case somebody's listening who might be tempted to think, well, listen, I'm just going to depend upon the Lord. Okay, I get that. Our daily life, every second of our life, is truly an act of faith. Because, as I said, you can be healthy as a horse, rich as a mogul, and but still have a truck run the stop sign tomorrow and change your life forever. So, you know, yes, of course we depend upon the Lord, but here's the thing. The Word of God tells us in so many ways, in so many places, that we are responsible. You know, we are responsible for providing for our own, and providing also means security and protection. And so I tell people, look, if you're going to walk around saying, I'm just going to depend upon the Lord, then I say, okay, let's test that. Quit going to the grocery store. The Lord will just provide groceries on your front steps. Don't worry about it. Quit locking your doors. Quit, leave the keys in your car at night. Don't worry about that. Just depend upon the Lord. Quit taking medicine. Don't take any more medicine. Just depend upon the Lord. You know, just, and when you do go to the grocery store, if you do, just buy once for each day. You know, don't buy for 2 or 3 weeks or a month at a time. Just depend upon the Lord. Don't buy any more insurance. Don't have fire extinguishers. Don't put locks on your doors. Just depend upon the Lord. See, our whole life, brother, is spent with common sense reasoning of how do we provide for ourselves. It's so easy in the culture we live in America to say, I'm just going to depend upon the Lord, when we know a gas station is a block down the road and a grocery store is just a mile or two down the road. Our forefathers, brother, that forged this country, they lived by growing their food, preserving their food, hunting and killing their food, building their own houses out of logs. And I mean, you know, so there's a balance to all of this. And I'm just trying to wake up Christians and say, look, don't live in anxiety. Don't live in anxiousness. That is faithlessness. But be faithful, prepare, think commonsensically, take some measures, and then get on with life. Get on with life. Make sure your life is right with the Lord, and get on with life, but be smart. Does that make sense, Pastor Dan?
Makes a lot of sense, and this also makes sense. I want you to tell them about your book, Beat Out or Prepared. You got about a minute and a half left, but it's a very good book for just exactly what we're talking about.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is. My latest book is When the Lion Roars, and I have a new one coming out this fall that everybody's going to love, I'm sure. I can't wait to talk about that. But the one right before When the Lion Roars is called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. And it's an all-encompassing book, as I said. I mean, you got the whole theological thing, the history, the answers to all the questions about, well, what about turning the other cheek? What about just depending upon the Lord? It's all there. Be thou prepared. Plus lists 7 things that you have to have, 4 or 5 ways to protect yourself. Here's how to make a bug out bag. Here are the things that need to go in it. You know, all of those things are there. Even a lot of stuff for churches and pastors and how to protect your church and how to have security ministry teams. And I mean, it's really a good book. Not that I wrote it. I'm just saying people that get it and read it, they rave about it and they say, oh my gosh, this thing is so helpful. So I encourage churches, pastors and Christians to get that book, Be Thou Prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. And so do I. And of course, When a Lion Roars is a really good book. I can't, and I'm like you, I'm just dying to hear about the new book. Of course, I always am. And
You'll get a copy of it, brother. I can't wait for you to read it. I think it's going to rock your world.
Amen. Anyway, well, thanks for being on with me, Carl. We're going to talk again soon. So you be blessed, brother, as I know you are.
Pastor Dan, is time already gone?
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Every time you're on, what do you do, man? You know, every time you come on, time's up.
We speed up the time, brother. We speed it up. Listen, I love you. Love your audience. God bless you. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallups. And, you know, to me, he's a pretty good example of what I believe how a normal mainstream Christian should act as far as a pastor. No, none of us are perfect. Pastor Dan's not perfect. Pastor Carl's not perfect. But anyway, I enjoy having him on. And I know you folks do, too, because I know from the numbers how many people tune in and want to listen to him. So anyway, Carl will be back again with us. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do a lot of things there, but the biggest thing that we do, everything leads, whether we're given a crust of bread, a piece of clothing, a prayer, everything is directed that at some point they will. It will bring repentance and it will bring somebody to the Lord Yeshua. Folks, we're also, I'm very serious about this studio. We need donations for this studio. And in order to get I need to get the studio done because we're also planning a a new video project, but I can't do that until everything else works. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting radio, and we need some new equipment. It's as simple as that. But remember, we must all remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. The only sign given was 3 days and three nights. That's what he said more than once. So, that's the point. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, I ask in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace, like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.